Matthew 28, look if you will in verse 19. Matthew 28, verse 19, the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And so everybody goes, well, see, they were sent to the Gentiles, but they don't really understand why they were sent out to the other nations. And I'm going to hopefully, Lord willing, be able to show you that. And them that are named of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, which would have been what?
The law.
Yeah, it would have been, well, more than the law, because the baptism wasn't in the law in the way they laid it. It would have been all the things they learned in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You got it? So he's telling them at the end, after the cross, this is after the cross, he's telling them to go and teach whatsoever I've commanded you. And the things he's commanded them is very important. Whatever he said here, that's what I want you to go teach. And let me tell you what's so fascinating about the Great Commission is the people who say they're doing the Great Commission aren't even getting close to the Great Commission. That is, they're not observing the things that Jesus Christ had commanded them to do. You all understand what I'm... Let me finish the passage because I didn't finish it. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, some of the things he said, we know. In fact, you guys can name them real quick. What are some of the things he's told them to do in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
Repent.
What?
Repent.
That's one.
Sell out.
Baptize.
Two, sell out. What was the other one? Baptize. That's right.
Keep commandments.
Four, keep the commandments.
Come and follow.
Come and follow. Five.
Believe.
Who said believe? Yeah, that should have been the first one on the list. Come and follow.
Endure.
Six. Believe. Believe what? What did they have to believe? What? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Let's not forget to pick up deadly serpents and deadly.
Well, those were things they could do after they did believe.
They were there. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And someone said endure. Who said that?
I did.
Endure unto the end. And when you did these things, you would also be able to pick up deadly things, speak in tongues. There would be a sense that you were accomplishing this. And that you got the Holy Ghost. Oh, it's Joe Allen from Pennsylvania. Hey, Joe, glad you're here. Now, Joe is interesting. Can you swing the camera around for a minute? Just Joe, all these people that you're seeing weren't brethren, but they were all a good portion of these guys were Mennonites, and are now saved and standing up for the Word of God, and very excited about what's going on. So. You fit right in. He's up in Pennsylvania with a brother in church, and this man saved and had a good testimony of salvation and whatever, and so we praise the Lord for it. And he's learned right division over the last year. And so it's been fairly exciting. But let's get back to this for a minute. So he says, go in. Now, when he had taught the Gentiles to do this, cut it. Why? They weren't in the covenants. They couldn't do any of that. So he's going into all nations. And he says, teaching them to observe. Well, what he would have taught a Gentile in those nations is exactly in Matthew 25. Go to Matthew 25. Now, this is what he had commanded them. Matthew 25, verse 31. In Matthew 25, look in verse 31. This is what he would have preached to a Gentile. Y'all understand? He wouldn't have told the Gentile nations to do these list of things you listed here. He wouldn't have told them. That was for the Jews. And even though they would be involved with the Jews, he knew that there was a completely separate entity, or he wouldn't have said this. And remember, he said, to observe and to teach everything that I taught you. So they're not going to change the teaching of a Gentile here when they're over here in this tribulation period. Do y'all understand? It isn't going to change. That is exactly the same. Look in Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all His holy angels with Him, and then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Well, I know that's the second coming. Now, you know Jack Van Impe?
Mm-hmm.
He thinks the second coming and the rapture are the same event. He's a little confused. But you don't have to be confused, because he said very clearly to go and tell his people that Jesus is coming again. And where is he coming? To Jerusalem. And hold on here and go to Zechariah 14. If you don't know where Zechariah is, go to Matthew, back up two books toward the front. And go to Zechariah 14. Huh? You know what I always tease people like that? It's time to take the training wheels off. No, I'm just kidding.
My grandpa gave me this Bible.
All right, no. We're going to wear it out. Let me assure you, one thing, if you keep coming, you're going to wear it out. You'll need a new one eventually. So we'll get you one with, you know, a hot rod motor. There was a guy who came on this big Indian motorcycle. I mean, it was beautiful. I mean, dressed out. I said, isn't it time to take off the training wheels? Ooh, he got mad. Don't say that to a motorcycle rider unless you're saved. 14, verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided. Skip down to verse 14. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of what? Olives. You see that?
Yeah.
His feet are literally, he's coming back. And that matches Matthew 25, verse 31. You might want to get your Bible pen out. And Acts chapter 1, I'm not sure of the verse. I want to say 6, but I'll have to turn there. Give me just a second. I don't want you to get a bad reference. 14:4. Y'all there? And Acts chapter 1, verse 11, you want to have by there. So put that in your Bible. You know, take the time to write in your Bible. And listen, let me tell you what. You won't remember. I mean, I know you're brilliant. You might want a pen. They got all kinds of Bible pens. 14:4. So those references will hold you. That day, his feet is going to land on the Mount of Olives. You got it? He's coming back. Just like he'd been promised. He's gone away, but he's coming back. Go to Matthew 25 again, please. Matthew 25 again. In Matthew 25, verse 32. And before him shall he gather what? All nations. Gentile nations, not Israel. And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divided the sheep from the goats. The sheep are what? Gentile nations. And the goats are what? Gentile nations. And he's separating them. You got it? Now, you got to remember, as they go into all the nations, why would they be going into all the nations, by the way? Hold on, let's discuss that before we go any further. The reason he tells them to go into all nations is very clearly, go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, I believe it is.
You're talking about the Great Commission.
Yeah, why did he say, go ye into all the nations of the earth? Teach them to observe whatsoever I've commanded you. And on and on. What? That's right. See, the reason he's got to go out into the area to get them is they're not in Jerusalem. And guess what? You think the Jews are all in Jerusalem today? They're all over the world. In Acts chapter 8, look if you will, in verse 1. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except who? So what happens to all the Jews at that time? Man, they were scattered all over. You got it? I mean, and you know what? They're still scattered all over. That even though they quote think they got a nation, they ain't got nothing compared to what God will provide for them. Go back to Matthew 25. So why did they go into all nations? Yeah, the Jews were scattered. And to get to them, they have to go evangelize and go and make that happen. So when he said he's gathering all the nations, it's because he told them to go into all the nations, and the nations knew whether they should be blessing the Jew or not. You all understand? They understood the dealy-willy. And so now he's going to judge them to whether they took care of his people or they didn't take care of his people. And so the doctrine, he wouldn't have gone up to a Gentile and said, look, I need you to repent, sell out. And yet, what are Gentiles doing today? They're trying to do these things that he told the Jews. And he would, unless you're circumcised and bowed out to thing, being plugged into the blessings of Israel doesn't make you a Jew. Alright, now let's read on down. And this is the passage you know well, but I've got to go back over it when you think of it in the light of going and preaching to all nations. Look, if you will, in verse 32 again. And before him shall he gather all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand. Who are the sheep? Gentile nations. But the goats on the left. Who are the goats? Gentile nations. And he says, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger. Hang on just a second. Can we separate these two dogs? Because it is very hard to concentrate with two dogs wrestling on the floor here. They behave themselves when I reprimanded them. But just take them in two different places. Beat the mighty dogs to death.
Barry.
I'm just kidding, Roxy.
Barry.
Yes.
Jews and Gentiles are both, the sheep and the goats were both Gentiles.
Yes. Very important. You all see that?
Yes.
Okay. I was a hungry and you gave me meat. I was a stranger and you. I'm sorry, verse 35. Let's start there. For I was a hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer and say unto the Lord, when saw we thee a hungry, or fed thee, or thirsty, or gave thee drink? Or when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in? And by the way, took thee in into their houses. How could they have taken them into their houses if they had settled out? That would be rather difficult. So even if the people who think they're spiritual Jews, they would have to sell out. Because they're dependent. And you know who's an example of this? Elijah at the brook. Elijah is a type of Israel in the tribulation. And what happened?
The
ravens came and fed them. The ravens represent the Gentiles. He had to trust the Lord. He had to. Hey, he had no way of providing, and so the Lord provided for them. You got it? And these Gentiles are going to provide the sustenance and the place to stay. Well, what if they all sold their houses? How would they give them lodging? And if they sold everything, how could they give them clothes? Or water? Or any food? Because they'd be in the exact same condition that Israel would be in the mountains. Look if you will. Verse 38. When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw thee we sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto him, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brothers, you have done it unto me. Well, that's clear, isn't it? Then shall he say also on the left hand, now those were Gentile nations too, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Why are these people going to hell? And there's only one reason. They did not bless that nation of Israel. And the reason they're going to hell is they refused to bless them during their time of the Great Commission. Now, as they were getting out there and starting to preach that Great Commission, Gentile says, well, what's the dealie for me? And Peter and all those guys are going to say, look, if you'll bless us, we're going to be a kingdom of priests. We're going to be a holy nation, a peculiar treasure unto God. But if you will bless us, God is going to make sure you get into that kingdom and can eat of the tree of life. I mean, listen, those people don't just live because they're so healthy. I mean, we're falling apart at this age. Amen? They're eating of a tree that has the capacity to keep them alive, and that should be of interest to them alone. Look, if you will, in Revelation. Well, we don't need anything but Romans through Philemon. Well, then you're an idiot. Look in Revelation 22 and look in verse 1. Revelation 22 and verse 1. Now, guys, this is going to happen whether I like it or not, and it is part of the Great Commission, but I want you to see some things about this that is very, very important. Verse 22, chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb of God, and in the midst of the street of it, and on either side. So let me draw the picture for a minute. Here's the temple over here. They get to come to this temple. There's a temple. And this is over here. I just didn't want to crowd it because I may want to put some other things. And out of that, there's a fountain flowing. And on either side, there's these trees. Kind of like Willy Wonka's thing, you know? There's the trees. These trees are like unusual trees. Look what it does. In the midst of the streets of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit. Isn't that fascinating? And yielded her fruit every month. And look what the leaves were. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the what? Why wasn't it for the Jews? Okay, when I ask a question, I usually go up on the end like that. A little bit more.
Like the nations of the Jews?
No. Nations or the Gentiles?
The nations.
Yeah, the nations are the Gentiles, and these are the nations. What are we?
That's the only way they can get.
Come on, guys. Do they need the tree of life?
Who, the Gentiles?
The Jews.
Probably not, but I don't know why.
Honesty will get you everywhere. No, why don't they need it? They have been born again from the dead. they have eternal life at that point. You understand? Remember, the Gentiles haven't got the blood. The Jews got the blood. How do I know that? Go back to Zechariah 13, verse 1. You got it? They have to die to be born again. And I'm going to show you that in the doctrine. Remember, they teach whatever to deserve. They're not going to need that tree of life, boys and girls. Only humans need the tree of life. The priesthood is after the order of who?
Melchizedek.
What was unique about Melchizedek that wasn't the same about Levi?
No beginning, no end.
No, they won't have any end. There'll be an everlasting priesthood for all eternity, and they will never fail their job. They don't need the tree of life. The tree of life, the leaves are what? For the healing of the nations. Zechariah 13. The reason why they don't, and the day for them, the day of atonement, it's done. It's a done deal. They will be born again. Now let me show you what I'm talking about.
Is that
about.
Just in the millennium?
Going into the millennium.
But
yes.
That 1,000 years.
Yeah, no, they'll be forever. All eternity.
I mean, that's healing of the nation.
Yes, just for the 1,000 years. And then everything will catch on thing and it'll be perfect. And then it doesn't seem to need it. But what's fascinating is I have searched, and I'm sure somebody smarter than me, but I can't see where the Gentiles ever really touch the blood. They need that tree like the blood. Now I'm going to tell you a little bit more about redemption and trees in just a minute. But all this stuff is, I mean, it's not just thrown in here, boys and girls. It's thrown here for a very specific reason so we would understand this stuff. Yes, Dave?
Is that for the blessing Gentiles?
Yes, the trees. The other ones go to hell. He separates them. And he gets those guys come in and they can eat of that tree and use the leaves and I guess they'll look young forever. Wish I'd have started earlier. I'd hate to just be frozen at this age, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, a much better thing.
Oh, are you? My goodness. Zechariah 13, now watch this. In that day there should be a fountain open for the house of David and for the inhabitants of what? For what? For sin and for uncleanness. You see that? Hello? I drove 7 hours. If y'all want to have your own, just let me know.
We'll wait.
Thank you. I mean, if this had happened in Brother Moore's church, it would have been a flipola. I would hate to see what it done to you two. I mean, I was so scared, I didn't even go to the potty for 6 weeks in that church. Just in case something was wrong. In that day there shall be a fountain open for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Did you see the Gentiles in that? Mike, I don't think the resurrection will probably be first of Israel. That's what you're talking about? Text me back if that's what you're talking about, but I believe the resurrection of Israel will be first and then the nation's judgment. So, and that's what I'm going to try to show you in resurrection. Go to Matthew, back to Matthew. Remember he said, whatever I taught you, teach and on. Matthew chapter 10. Go to Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew 10, look at verse 38. Matthew 10, verse 38. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Well, what does a cross do? He's not talking about, you know, how the Baptists preach that, oh, the heavy burdens, you know. You carry. Well, he's God. It wasn't a heavy burden for him. It'd be for us. And we think in that term, but that's not what he's talking about. take up your cross and what? Follow after me is not worthy of me. If you don't do that, you're not worthy of Zechariah 13. He says, he that findeth his life, how would a person in the tribulation find his life?
Endure to the end?
No.
You talking about Gentiles? Or?
Yeah, when he says in verse 39, he that findeth his life shall lose it. How would you find your life in the tribulation? No, this is a Jew. What? What did you say, Carlton?
Take the mark of the beast.
That's it. If you take the mark of the beast, they're not going to kill you. They're not going to slay you. But what did you just do? You just lost your salvation. But he, now watch what it says. Let me flip the page here. I'm going to get back where we were. But he that loses his life for my sake shall what? He has to be martyred. Why do they have to be martyred?
Because they've got to be born again.
That's exactly right. You got it? How about the Jews? Are the Gentiles, are they born again? No, and that's why they need that tree of life. You understand? These people are going to be priests. Go to Hebrews. Go ahead. You got to talk up loud so they can hear you.
Like, not going to have to worry about the mark of the beast.
Who?
Like the Gentiles that are going into the tribute boat. That
well, they will have to worry about that. But that isn't, they're dealing with it. They're hunting the Jews.
Gotcha.
Where are we going?
I mean, can Gentiles take the mark?
Yeah.
Yeah, and many probably will. Go to Hebrews. Did I tell you Hebrews?
Yes.
In Hebrews chapter 7, what? No, Hebrews 7, who said 6? Hebrews 7, verse 11. Now this is the whole point of it, guys. This is part of the Great Commission. And remember, this was not promised to the world. It wasn't promised to the Gentile nation. It wasn't promised to Gentiles acting like Jews. It was promised to the nation of Israel. You got it? Verse 11, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people, who would that be?
Jews.
Always, when it says the people, that's always Israel. Received the law, what further need would there be of another priest that should rise after the order of who? Melchizedek. You see that? And not be called after the order of Aaron. For the priesthood being changed, that is, good priests would come up, and then what would happen to them eventually? They would die. And their kids might not have been as good as their parents. And so, guess what happened? They started changing the law. They started changing everything about God's law to where they really didn't understand the law themselves. It was that confusing. Well, okay. Yeah, it doesn't like me when I don't acknowledge I saw it. I saw it. It won't shut up. No, it thinks I've seen it now. It's weird. Why are y'all staring at me like that? I was just checking. For the priesthood being changed, there was made a necessity, a change also of the what?
Whoa.
Let me show you an example of that. Go to Matthew 15. Well, I'm going to start in 6 if that's okay. We're going to get down to verse 9 though. Matthew 15. And here's the whole point. They would have good priests and then bad priests. Good priest, and then what? Bad priest. And the good priest, and then bad, 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 good priest. Bad, 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 terrible. You know, and on and on. And so, God knew that these priests had to be what? Born again. That's what Ezekiel 37, the whole nation resurrection, is in the life everlasting. They will be done. They will be born again. And Nicodemus asked him, how can a man be born again? And he said, he got into his mother's womb and come out the second time. And he said, no, you must be born again of the Spirit and whatever. And they will be the Ezekiel 37 resurrection. So they're not going to need these trees like the nations, because they're going to be soulless beings. And by the way, just so that you know, people are idiots. I'm telling you, I'm not kidding you. If they ever believed this Bible, it would freak them out. These people here are soul. Are soulish. They're soul winners. The people over here, the priesthood, will be living souls. We in the middle are what Christ is, a quickening spirit. Guess what's out here? Flesh. And guess what Gentiles will be over here? The image of God, guys. A triunion being. That's what He's making. Do you all understand that? And everybody has an inheritance. And how do you get to be this is different than what you do to get in here. You all understand? What you do to get in here is different from here and here. And if you take doctrine that will get you here, but all that's being offered is this, guess what? You're going to end up in hell. Say, yeah, but I really followed it. Doesn't matter. It was the wrong program to get into the wrong departure scene. He would never let a Gentile in that unless they had converted to Judaism as a Jewish proselyte.
How would they do that?
Circumcision, bowing off to the law and all the things. There was procedures. I can't name them all off to you off the top of my head.
So, if they converted by becoming a proselyte or whatever, a Gentile did that, that was still different than
a Jew.
A blessing Gentile.
Gentile, yes.
There's no difference there.
Oh, he's not a blessing Gentile anymore. He's a Jew. Okay. And see, they went out to do that. You all understand. That's what they went out to do. Look at Matthew 23. Now, he's talking about hang on, I'll come back to Matthew 15. Just give me a second here, because those are good questions and more pertinent to what I want to do. Go to Matthew 23.
I always thought that was the same. Just the same.
No. Once they did that, they were Jews.
They make a majority of
what?
Fourfold child of hell or something worse than
That's what we're about to read in Matthew. What are you trying to take the thunder out of my preaching? You're really ruining my preaching.
Sorry.
Bob, would you tell her to be quiet?
She's got a husband.
You chicken. I'm gonna just start reading down a little bit, and then I'll get to the context.
25.
What? Matthew 23. Y'all in Matthew 23?
No.
Where have you been?
I was in 23, but then
you got tired of it, and then you turned. You guys are wound up. No more cokes for this table over here. Yes.
I was going to say, there is a verse, Isaiah 56:6, which does nail down that proselyte thing in the Old Testament.
Yeah, I think...
Isaiah 56:6 is a good verse for that.
But there's others. I mean, there's a whole doctrine on it in how to circumcise the strangers. It happens in Genesis 17. I mean, you know, he goes through kind of the whole thing and bring them into the fold. But if they didn't want to be and they wanted to be strangers... That's okay too, which were Gentiles that could have blessed. Anyway, coming down to 23. Now watch this. Verse 3. And all therefore whatsoever they bid, you observe that observe and do. But do you not after their works, for they say and do not. Do y'all know anybody who tells you that, hey, we're going to follow Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but they're not doing it?
Yeah, I mean, perfect.
For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But with all their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garment, and they love the upper rooms at the feast and the chief seats in the synagogues and the greeting in the marketplace to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye your brethren. And call no man father upon the earth. You know any group? Yeah. For one is your Father which is in heaven, neither be ye called masters, for on and on. Now I want to get down in here. Verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, boy, we know that's true, and neither suffer ye them that are entering in to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widow houses, and on come on down, verse 15, and this is it. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, for you compass sea and land to make one what? Proselyte. And when you have, when he is made, you have made him two more fold the child of hell than yourselves. Because they get it all wrapped up in the traditions. Now go back to Matthew 15, see what started happening. In Matthew 15, and this was the problem with the priesthood. So he's telling them, look, that's why he told Nicodemus he must be what? Born again. And that was the whole key back here. They had to be born again from the dead. They're not going to get to these trees of life. They've got to be covered in the blood and the blood atonement at that fountain that's going to be open for the house of who? David. And would proselytes be included in that? Yes. Matthew 15. Verse 3. But he answered and said unto them, why do you transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother. And he that curses his father and mother, let him die the death. Where is that found? Yeah, in Exodus 21, verse 17, he tells you, if you have a rebellious kid, you're going to stone him to death. Now, I can tell you, I wouldn't have made it out of my childhood. I'm glad my parents weren't following Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Aren't you all?
Amen.
I think there would be a few around that table. Well, maybe one Lisa and a Rosita. Maybe. And a, well, maybe not. But you say, say to his father and mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest, be profited by me, and honor thy, and on shall be free. And that's not what God said. So what did they do? They changed the law. Go back to Hebrews chapter 7 now. Now you understand why they have to be what? Born again. They can't function in that. And so the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, remember that, I think it's in, can't remember where it says, it says in the Bible, it says, prepare to make meet your maker. Well, the whole idea is he is preparing Israel to meet their maker. He's preparing the church to meet their makers with Paul. But if you get confused, you're not going to meet either one because you're going to be on the wrong track. You got it? And so each of these situations is extremely important. This is no joke. God ain't playing around. This ain't something that God's going, I wonder if they're going to get it right. He's trying to get them right. And you've got to not shy away. You've got to keep preaching the Word and you've got to keep pressing. Because if they don't get it, they're going to bust hell wide open. Don't you get it? If you don't get it, and you need to get this stuff down, and you're not coming here to study for me. My job is to teach faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And you guys will take up the flame, don't you understand? And you guys have got to prepare. You don't have time to play around. If you want your loved ones, your friends, your relatives, now is the time of salvation. Now, right now is the time you need to get saved. Get your friends saved. Get all the people you know. Drag them to here. And if they won't come, then bless God, take the message to them. For you to do that, you've got to study. You've got to know what's going on and why God's up to it. You understand? Look in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 12. For the priesthood being changed, there is made a necessity, a change also of the... Well, we just saw the change right there in Matthew 15, 3 through 6. We saw the change. They just changed. Just said, we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to have this size covering now. Amen? Just change it. First thing I want someone to show me about the covering is where in the Old Testament what size it should be. Old Testament. Kind of difficult, isn't it? So shallow in people making doctrine over the size of their... kind of like their phylacteries in Matthew 23, don't you think? Oh, but we're going to change it. We're going to be different than that group. We're only going to have 8 inches of covering. But some of those hairs aren't covered. You all understand the problem?
I'm guessing there was a change or something. I'm just guessing.
What?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the coverings. I mean, I know what you're talking about, but the change, I'm assuming there was some kind of change.
There was a metamorphosis here. These guys were like plain James. I saw inside these girls that they were beautiful. And all I had to do was get their covering off and let their natural beauty come through. And look how spiritual they are. In fact, now the only thing I have to do is I can't hardly look. You know, I look over at Dave and I see his wife and I can barely see Dave because of the beautiful halo above him. I am full of it tonight. For the priesthood being changed, there was a mage. So they had this problem with the priesthood. So how could they do that? They could make another priesthood after the order of who? And they would be born again and they would never die. Remember, that's what was promised to them. The whole thing is in Exodus. Look in Exodus. Yes, I know, we don't use much, but you know, every now and then you got to turn back to the Old Testament. Exodus 19. Are y'all having a good time? This is better than a poke in the eye, isn't it? It's better than two pokes in the eye. Yes, no, Shaven, we're at the $29.95 round. Can you afford this question? Okay, go ahead.
Okay, the Gentiles that had the nations that those trees are for.
Yes.
They have to die a martyr's death.
No, they don't die at all. And so that's why they need the tree.
Okay. Because what I was wondering about, I was a little confused about that because I thought, you know, once the rule is once somebody dies, you know, when they come back, there's no more dying.
No, that's for Israel. Israel's going to die. And they're going to be resurrected.
Yeah, but after that resurrection, and I thought maybe those, for some reason, those blessed Gentiles had to die a martyr's death.
No, they could die without taking the tree.
Yeah.
And I'm going to show you that's necessary for their endurance.
And that's through the tribulation.
No.
After
the tribulation. I just got it drawn because it was a little crowded at the end. Yes, after. And Mike brought up on the, watching us up there in Wisconsin, Mike brought up a good point. This is after Israel has already been redeemed.
Oh, after Zechariah
13. Then he gathers the nations. You got it? They're already free. So that had happened, so this is even after that.
Oh, that's what you were saying, Matthew 25, whatever, is when he separates the sheep from the
goats. Yes. That's it. That's when he comes. Remember, he says his feet shall stand on Mount Hermon. First, he's going to open the fountain for Israel. They will be saved. And then he'll gather all nations, will be the next event. Yes?
Which Gentile will be of taking of the tree? Is it all the ones that bless
the sheep
before the cross?
The sheep.
No, well, it will not include the ones before the cross.
Will not.
Who will be then?
The Gentiles that blessed immediately in this position.
Tribulation.
But at the end, all of it will be, death will be done away with altogether at the end of the tribulation. At the end of the 1,000 years.
So there's going to be Gentiles that get us another chance if they don't get
They will stand at the great white throne judgment.
But not the ones that heard the truth, though.
I see the next message that needs to come up. I've got a sheet that explains where all these people are in the Bible. Okay?
Yeah.
Listen to me. Let's go over and make sure you got it. We haven't talked anything about this. Okay, so I'm going to erase it. Can I get a napkin? Right there in front of you, Shaphan. All right. I'm just going to strengthen this area up just a little bit so you can see it dispensational in the right order, if you don't mind. Let me show you this. I'm just going to erase that for a minute, okay? And I'm going to put ours in there, but I'm just going to make it real time, okay? There's the body. There are 7 years of tribulation. Halfway through the tribulation, the Antichrist is going to go in the temple and claim himself to be God. At that time, Israel is to flee Matthew 24, right before the chapter of Matthew 25 that we're reading. They're not supposed to have anything in their house or come down to take anything out of it. Why? They don't have time. He said, don't waste your time. Flee. I'll take care of you. Remember what he said in Luke 13? Birds have, they neither sow nor reap, yet I feed them. How much more are you better than the fowl? You know, I mean, he says that over and over again, Luke chapter 12, 24 through 33. And so they go in. So they go into the mountains, and they start starving to death. So what are the Gentiles supposed to do? There's some nations that are going to hide them out, just like the story of the two spies that came into Jericho and hid where? The old lying horse. She's a Gentile. She's a type of the tribulation Gentile. And she hides them out. When did we take thee in? When I was in need. They were in stress. She hid them. And she lied and said, go that way and you'll catch them. And God blessed her for lying. Yes.
So
please.
What happened to her then? Or what?
She would, if it happened in the tribulation period, and she will ultimately be resurrected into life because she did bless Israel.
Okay.
But if it happened in the tribulation, they're going to be the sheep. And the sheep were going to be allowed to go into the kingdom, which was prepared for who? Them. Right? Not Israel, the Gentiles. Israel's been promised something else. Well, we were going to read that in Exodus, but I'll get back to that in just a minute. The kingdom, first there's going to be a fountain open for Israel. That's Zechariah 13, right? Verse 1. And then the gathering of the nations, Matthew 25. That's 25 verse 31. You got it? Now, the Gentiles that didn't bless Israel, what happens to them? They go at this judgment down into what?
Hell.
Where the devil and the angel has been prepared for. And these sheep go into the kingdom. You got it? What do they get for being in the kingdom? They get to eat of that tree on either side that's flowing out. You got it? And they can eat of that tree. But if they don't get to that tree, they don't have life. Alright, you had a question I could tell them. Okay. So, those Gentiles that are goats end up in hell. The sheep go into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's what he said. Why wasn't the priest given that kingdom? Because they're working for the king. as his what? Priest. Look in Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6.
Well, they're looking, but when he's preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand, you're saying he's talking about that priesthood?
Oh, they know about it. I mean, this is Old Testament stuff. Absolutely. They knew they were going to be priests. In fact, Peter mentions it in 1 Peter chapter 2, which we're going to read in just a minute. See, the whole Great Commission is to prepare them to go in as priests and to give the Gentiles a chance. If the Gentiles heard, if you'll bless me, I'll bless thee, and if you curse me, I'm going to curse you. So they have a decision. They have a choice. What has God given you? A choice, whether you want to get saved or not. Everybody gets a choice. Well, Renee, don't let him win. Just take the devil and whip his butt. What's happening, darling? Renee's like, the devil is working hard tonight. Not here. Is the devil working on your end? Oh. Who is? Oh, we'll block them if we have to.
Yeah,
all right, good. Stay on top of it, Carlton, you soldier of the cross. If you can't handle it, we'll put Brent over there. He's a policeman. He's the first policeman I halfway like.
I can understand that.
You know, I don't want to say I was a criminal or anything. But you ought to have seen how much dope Curtis smoked up. I'm clean now, though. Exodus 19, y'all there?
I'm still waiting.
Verse 5. Well, I mean, the first time I saw Brent got me a little nervous.
But that's what God's saying.
Yeah, exactly. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye, who's the ye?
The Jews.
The Jews, the priesthood, ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And look what he promised them. And ye, who's the ye?
Jews.
The Jews shall be unto me a kingdom of
priests,
a holy nation. These are the words that thou shalt speak unto the entire world, and they should think that they're spiritual Israel.
No.
It didn't say that. That's how people are reading it.
Yeah.
Back. You got it? Go back to 1 Peter. Aren't you glad you have me as a Bible teacher? It could be brutal otherwise. And it's pretty fun anyway. Now, this all has to do with the Great Commission. You got it? All of this has to do with the Great Commission. Because he said, take and observe. Well, I don't believe I'm going to be a priest of God. I mean, I wouldn't even know where to start. I've never been to a priest. Those guys had actually seen it, you know? They understood that. I don't get it. You know what it would remind me of? And I know you think I've watched too many movies, and I've been commented about that. But it reminds me of The Wizard of Oz. The Wizard of Oz, that lion, and that straw man, and the tin man, would have been like walking into the temple of God. And the voice comes, I am the Wizard of Oz. And that lion, that cowardice lion, starts to run. And when he's running toward the door, and they pick him up, and his feet's just still kicking. We would have no clue what was going on. Y'all understand? Priesthood didn't freak out like that. They knew what was going on. They knew the parts of the temple, why it was there. It was explained to them in the Old Testament. They understood that. In 1 Peter chapter 2,
Here.
in 1 Peter chapter 2, I want to read in verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8. And the stone of stumbling, who would that be? Jesus Christ, the rock of offense, even them that had stumbled at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal what? A holy nation. Well, that's a quote right out of Exodus 19, 5 and 6. You got it? They're making a direct quote to the Old Testament prophecy, what their hope was. Y'all understand? They thought they were going to be born again. You got it? And they would have told those Gentiles, you can either bless us or curse us, but God's going to judge you based upon that. And He would have used the Syrophoenician woman and the centurion servant in Luke 7 and Cornelius as examples. So you can either do what they did or you can end up cursed. But we're coming through. And the whole thing really barrels down to the Great Commission. But Paul couldn't have been part of that Great Commission. There's no way he could have been prepared. Why? Not one time in 13 books that he writes, not one single time does he prepare you to bless a Jew, which would have been the only way you could get through the tribulation. Number one. You got it? Not one time does he mention the priesthood. In 13 books, now that's got to be a little bit of a record. He wrote half the New Testament. If you were involved with the priesthood or something was connected to the priesthood, don't you think he would have mentioned it somewhere for a connection? I mean, come on. I mean, there's a little bit of strangity if you start to think, well, you know, what's up with that? But go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and this is how you know for a fact that he wasn't part of the Great Commission. Because the Great Commission was, go ye and baptize all nations, teaching them to observe whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I'll be with you always, unto the end of the earth. Amen. Did he tell them to go baptize? Did he commission them to baptize? Yes. But look what Paul says. If that's part of the Great Commission, then Paul really flubs it up here. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look if you will in verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Well, if the Great Commission is going to go and baptize people, then Paul ain't doing the Great Commission. That's a little bit weird. Why? Someone else was baptizing for him. I've heard that 100 times. You see, boys and girls, what I'm trying to tell you is the Lord has this thing straight. I mean, it isn't a coincidence. It isn't a phenomenon of nature. I mean, I hate these libs that try to make us think in evolution. Listen, if evolution was true and dolphins were smart, they would have built the Smithsonian first. You got it? They would have written Shakespeare instead of Shakespeare. Hello? Instead of Mozart, it would have been whatever they would speak in their language. And they would get out fiddles and strings and play. They don't do any of that. People say, well, dolphins are as smart as humans. Apes can hold 120 words. So can someone who is mentally retarded. Hello? Oh, that's smart. I look at those mental retarded. It's a genius. No, they're mental retarded. And I'm not making fun of mental retarded people. I mean, I love them and God loves them just as well. You all understand? But they're not building the Smithsonian. Neither are their dolphins. Bless God, God made man unique and set apart for the use of what He wanted to do. Here, He's preparing a nation to become the priest of Almighty God. Here, Paul's preparing a body to hold his righteousness for all eternity. We are the embodiment of God's righteousness. We're the temple in which God dwells. Look in Ephesians. No way do we have the same calling, the same point. There is no great commission. You know what Paul says the commission is? I'll show you what our commission is. Ephesians chapter 2, you all there? Verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a what? A habitation of God through the Spirit. We're the place where He dwells for all eternity. That didn't even go over well. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Don't make me beg for another one. I'll start fighting. Chapter 3, verse 17. Some of my favorite passages in the Bible. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height? And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all... Listen to this. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. How would you like to walk around and have the fullness of God? And the way you do that is by putting this word in and getting it rightly divided. And I bet you have noticed when you go to talk to people how stupid you think they are. Amen? Where before you used to think, man, these people are brilliant. But after you see the truth, you're going, them people are dumb as doorknobs. Amen? You know what? You're starting to increase. Now, you can watch this because you know what that can turn into? Pride and a haughty and arrogant spirit. Your job is, and what Paul said, O wretched man that I am, that is in me, that is dwelleth in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. You got it? He's not trying to set you up for a kingdom. Paul's setting you up as a habitation of God for all eternity, where His righteousness and His fullness will dwell. He had wanted you to go into the kingdom, and you don't have to dip in that fountain. You know why? You've already been made a new creature in Christ. The moment you trusted Christ, the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were complete in Him. That's why I can say, hey, you're looking at a man that ain't worth the gunpowder to blow him into hell, and yet I am the righteousness of God in him. Isn't that incredible? And so Paul's preparing a church to be his body. It's a church, an organism that's growing. That in it will dwell his righteousness for all eternity. Now you can go back and try to do this, and you know what's going to happen? You're going to end up in hell. The only hope for the world today is the church. And the message you've got is life. You know that song? Wonderful Words of Life. You know? You've got life. It's not what goes in a man that defiles him. It's what comes out. Amen. Now I listen to people and they say, well, I'm good. I see this. Young ladies are the most deceived of all. No, I don't mean that bad. Mama and Daddy, he's such a good Christian man. This is what I know about men. There are none good. Amen? Amen, men?
That's right.
They are as sorry as the day is long. Why you would give up your headship from the Lord to them, I have no idea. Don't worry, I'm dying. But I'll go to heaven when it's all over. Hey. Ephesians is telling our position, where we are. And you know what? We don't have to make the... Glad you can make yourself at home. It is your home. Just make yourself any way you want. What? Get a camera. Was she on camera?
Yeah.
Oh, good. That is Miss Carrie sneaking around disturbing me, so I now lost my thought. Oh, our commission. That was what I was going to... Thank you. All right. Our commission to the church, the body of Christ, isn't the Great Commission of Matthew 28. So what is it? It's Ephesians chapter 3.
I've been waiting for that all night.
Have you been waiting? Well, sit down and then you can get it.
Oh, I love it.
If you grab the last 5 minutes, you've got it all.
Shoot, that's all I'm worried about.
I'm actually sweating. You all see that? Don't tell me I'm not working hard.
Yeah.
Hey, Shaken, did you sweat this much today?
A whole lot more now.
Hang on. Look.
You ain't even started yet.
All right, I'm working hard up here.
You're doing a good job, dude.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate Dave, the man, the legend. Here it is. Ephesians chapter 3. This is to the church. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery.
Verse 9.
Which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who hath created all things by Jesus Christ. What is our job? To make all men see what is the what? It makes the cross of Christ of none effect. You got it? So, huh? Yes.
Romans 10:3 is a good verse.
It is a good verse for that.
Oh, okay.
Do you all understand how great this is?
It feels like a little bit of a letdown, though, after Priest and Kings, we must say.
What ours does?
Because you kind of led us up here and did, and now we kind of crashed.
Huh? I'm thinking, you all understand where you guys are going to be?
I
mean, your inheritance is the top.
Okay, thanks.
I mean, you're welcome. I mean, listen, your inheritance is amazing. You're joint heirs with Christ, Romans chapter 8.
It's a whole lot better than being a priest.
Stuck in a temple?
Yeah.
Walking on stupid streets of gold?
Yeah.
Is that what you want? You know what? The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things that you're getting are eternal. Yes.
Now, do you think Ephesians 1:10 brings all that together ultimately?
That is the ultimate inheritance. But I'll probably get to that next week because I want to deal a little more in those phrases. Just a little bit. He was talking about the inheritance where it's all finally brought together. Ultimately that's what's going to happen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, that is. All right? I think I'm going to quit here tonight. I don't want to get too far. This is what I want you to see. Over here, baptism was required. They were told to sin. Oh, no, there was one other thing I needed to tell you. This is very important. Go to 1 Peter. I'm sorry, I almost forgot this. 1 Peter. That may be 2 Peter. Give me just a second. Let me look. Yes, 1 Peter chapter 2. That's what I thought. Are we back on?
Yeah.
I want to tell everybody on the internet that we got bumped because we're having bad storms. And I praise God because now we know who's saved and who's not. The ones that were afraid to be taken away and the other ones are standing on their chairs saying, "Take me first." Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. This is the other important point that I wanted to make that is very, very important. I almost skipped this. I got so excited. Bob got me off thinking of what I can preach next, you know? But some of that stuff just, I mean, just keeps going. I mean, it never stops. That's the whole exciting thing. I mean, I find this book fascinating, but this is the verse I wanted, verse 20. Well, I want 21. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us," talking about the priesthood in Israel, "leaving us," the 12, "as an example, that you should follow His steps," Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You got that? Now compare that to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians 4, look if you will in verse 16. Paul didn't say follow us and or follow his footsteps as ye have us as an example. He says, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." 1 Corinthians 11, look at it. Verse 1. "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Boy, that's good. Amen?
Amen.
Go to Philippians chapter 3. Ephesians, Philippians. It's after Philippians 3. I mean, who should you be following? Not his steps, Paul's steps. Man, how stark of a comparison can you get between those two? Now, you're talking about showing your mommies and daddies? That ought to flip them out. Amen? Here, this is the exact comparison. "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so you have us for an example," not his steps. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 ought to be written right there. Amen? That's what I would do. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Who's lost? 3. Who's lost? I specialize in getting people saved. Who's lost? Philippians 3:17. Now, Rosita, you need to stay up with us, girlfriend. I mean, this ain't like no Mennonite church you've ever been to. Do they turn in this many passages?
They hardly ever open the book.
You're kidding.
I've been in sermons where they've never opened the book.
You've got...
I've been in church where you didn't use your Bible.
Is that true?
You might go to one verse all day and they expound on that for an hour and a half.
45 minutes.
That would blow you away.
That surprised me.
Hey, you guys are going to have to dress me up and say, "We found this preacher," and I'll put on the beard and everything. They won't even recognize me. And I'll come in and say, "We're here for Bible study today." You know, with that little Dutchy accent, you know? My name is Barry Yoder. Huh?
That sounds
all wrong.
You need to work on your Dutch accent.
Oh, okay. Verse 17. Now watch this. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk, so you have us for an example, for many walk of whom I told you often and now tell you even weeping. They are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They're walking. They look like they're Christians. They act like they're Christians. But guess what? They're the enemies. Go to Timothy, please. In 1 Timothy chapter 1. I mean, it's pretty clear that Peter wants them to follow the Lord's ministry of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Paul never once refers you to that. You know what he says? Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me as I also follow Christ. Follow me. Well, what Paul says and what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John says are two different things.
Ministry was for the Gentiles. That was for the Jews.
That's true. Now watch verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer. And you ought to put Matthew 12, verse 31 and 32 if you haven't got it in there. And persecuted and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorant and in unbelief. Come on down. Verse 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy. That's why Paul got saved. That in me first. Well, then it wasn't the 12. Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting.
Wow, that's great.
That's strong. There is no way that this commission in here represents anything of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. At all. So the Great Commission was given to who? The Jews, for what?
For the Jewish nation.
To gather the priests up for God will be the kingdom of priests of Exodus 19, 5 and 6. And while they're out in the world, they're telling the Gentiles, look, if you'll bless us, God's going to let you get to that tree. Now go back to Revelation. You'll see how important this tree is. These people are in human bodies.
Are they the ones that won't be taken out? In their...
Yeah, this is the sheep. Mm-hmm. Verse 1. And he shall show a pure river, water of... 22. Did I not say that?
No. You didn't. Cool. We were there earlier. We should have known.
Alright. I've got my eyes on you guys now. It's starting to be like that class in Montgomery. We got a great class in Montgomery, by the way.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
And you know you can come here for church on Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. And
absolutely.
Lunch afterwards?
Amen.
We don't serve lunch at our church every Sunday.
We have lunch here every Sunday.
I'm coming up here for church Sunday.
Okay.
I can put a tape on, run up here, and watch. You know what I mean? You really can't tell whether it's live or Memorex. Hold it. I saw him pick his nose before. That's an old one! And I show you a pure river of water of life. Clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb of God. And in the midst of the street and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life. That's what they need. And it bare 12 manner of fruit and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and on and on. Pretty amazing. Those people will eat of that tree and live 1,000 years. But then he sets the whole thing on fire. Hang on just a second, okay? Wayne says he'll put a tape in, laugh out loud, and come with you. The whole thing is going to catch on fire, and then God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And it will be just like we talked about on that chart before the Adam, when there was God created the heaven and the earth. And there will not be multiple heavens, there'll be one, there'll be unity, and it will be the inheritance he talked about in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. Yes. Do you have a question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're saying that after the tribulation, after these Gentiles are eating of the tree and all
that's 1,000 years.
That's the kingdom, 1,000 years.
It ends.
And that's when everything's going to burn and melt up.
All the elements will melt.
And then there's going to be
a new heaven.
And a new earth.
And for all eternity, that will be for all eternity.
Perfect.
It will be perfect.
But we're going to be.
You're with the Lord.
Yeah.
Wherever the Lord is, you'll be. Yes.
Now these leaves that heal the nations, these are the people that make it through the tribulation in the flesh.
Yes.
So they don't have transformed bodies.
And they need this stuff.
They need this to maintain for 1,000 years.
Yes.
Now, will there be Jews with glorified bodies in that kingdom?
There'll be soulless bodies.
As priests. So
as
priests. Different forms than the...
They'll be eternal.
Yeah, okay.
I imagine they will glow like Moses and Elijah did at the Mount of Transfiguration. I don't know. They could be like maybe the Lord after the resurrection when he walked through the wall.
Right.
Yeah, they could be like that.
The glorified bodies.
Yep. Guys, listen. It's exciting stuff. And there's no mistake how God put this book together. There's no question at how it's laid out. Yes.
This might be kind of a dumb question.
Okay, well, it's all right. We'll laugh at you.
What happens with the people in between that time and when it all burns up and there's new, and where do they go in that?
The birth ones, when they're born?
Okay, when they're in that first kingdom, they're
at that 1,000. Here's 1,000 years. Let me mark it right here. Year to year, it's 1,000 years.
When that burns up until the new heaven and the new earth is made, where are those people?
They're going to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
They won't get burned.
They won't get burned. I mean, that's why the stories were in there. That's why Rahab was in there about blessing the Jew.
Wow.
But it does say the elements will melt the perfect.
Oh, it does. All the elements will melt. But
flesh.
God protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that furnace that was 7 times turned up.
So that's how they can reign forever and ever. Because that's what I was wondering is in verse 5 it says...
Well, they don't ever reign. The Gentiles will never reign.
No.
They will be servants.
But where it's talking about going down through it says they shall reign forever and ever. And I was wondering what happened to those people, like, not necessarily just the Gentiles, but everybody, you know, in that situation when it all melts then.
Well, the priests are eternal, we're eternal, and the Gentiles somehow are protected from the fire. I can't tell you how. I mean, there's some things I don't know, studied out. I mean, you know, but I know they're protected. And they're like Shadrach and Meshach. Tell me how they got through that fire. They said, hold it. Hold it. I'm looking in there. And there's 4 of them in there. Leroy, do you see that? Yep, I see 4 too. Well, didn't we just throw 3 in there? I think 3 were all that was thrown in there, Leroy. I think so. Who's the 4th one? And there stood in the midst of them one as the Son of Man, the Bible says in Daniel. And it did not... I mean, they walked out and there wasn't even a smell of fire on them.
No.
Say, well, how's that possible? Chafin, this is all I can tell you. He's God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that story must be there for a reason.
He's
and
God.
I don't know why that story was there. But
and here's something else I know about God. Look at Matthew 25 for a minute. Well, I know a little bit more than just one more thing. But that's pretty good. Matthew 10. Yeah? Leonard, you and Donna still with us? Verse 30. Matthew 10, verse 30. But the very hairs of your head are all what? Here, we're talking about God, guys. We're not talking about how can He do that. He spoke the universe into existence out of His words.
Wow.
Job got a little self-righteous and he turned to Job and he said, where were you when I laid the foundations of the deep? Job 38, what?
Well, he says he upholds all things by the word of His power.
So oh, absolutely. I mean,
do what He wants to do.
I mean, when you're talking about God, He can protect those people in that nation forever. But let me tell you what. There's a thing in Zechariah 13 that they will have to spear their children through in that year if they blaspheme or talk against God or lie. Mm-hmm. I think it's Zechariah 13. Look back there.
They think they've got it figured out. That's why they don't listen. We can go out and convert.
All right, praise the Lord. They said, yes, we are.
That's great.
I think we all ought to hold hands and sing Kumbaya. Everybody in Phoenix, and we kind of sway it the same way.
Yeah.
See if we can rock the world. Oh, I have more fun at these Bible classes than, you know, other people are going to like Avatar and Salt. How many seen Salt? Man, that what's that girl's name? Angelina Jolene? I went to just see if there was anything good. She didn't even cuss.
Have you seen Avatar?
Yes. What, did you like it? Oh, should have seen it in 3D. Man, I'm glad I didn't have an acid flashback or anything in the 60s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It would have been like...
Maybe.
I mean, it's so unbelievable. The 3D was unbelievable. I didn't ever see it in 2D. Now, look here. Y'all with me? Hey, you guys are losing it.
Zechariah 9.
Oh, Avatar.
8 or 9,
I think it's 13. Well, now I can't find it. It might be 14 where he talks about poking them through with a spear.
Is it 3? The end of 3?
That's correct, Wayne. No, he just made a comment. Oh, I can't find it. I didn't have it in my mind to preach on, so I didn't even look it up to remind myself.
Oh, 13.3.
Is it 13.3? Yes. Okay. Yeah, right here. 13.3. I thought it was in 13. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. Remember, they're human. They're not like priests that's already been born again. And his father and his mother that begot him shall thrust him through when he prophesieth.
That's not even right.
Man, because God said to. Now, let me tell you. That they have to remember when I told you about the kingdom of heaven, they still have sin in it. There's an example of what we're talking about. Where the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness. The kingdom of heaven still has sin in it. So that doesn't guarantee them that they're going to get it, because they need to get to that tree of life. But if that kid prophesies, you take a spear and you thrust them through yourself. Wait until you hold that little baby in your hand. I've held 3 of them in mine. And boys and girls, when you hold that baby and you think you're responsible for that, you can understand why your parents would freak out. You go and listen to some weird grace preacher. They would have to thrust you according to the Mennonite sword and stab you through your heart. That's kind of the way it is. And that's what they're talking about here. You got it? Man, we have a great inheritance, don't we? You know what? You don't have to worry about... You know what? If you miss the rapture, you will be damned. Second Thessalonians. You will be damned. God will make sure that you burn in hell.
So sad.
He has sent a gospel to you and a gospel to your family and a gospel to your loved ones that is very easy to understand. What's the gospel? That Jesus Christ came down to this earth, died as a sinner for your sins, that you might be made the righteousness of Him in Him, or righteousness of God in Him. You got it? How do you get it? You've got to stop hanging onto the rope.
And trying to do it on your own.
You can't do it. There's none good. There's not a just person upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All have sinned. We're all filthy, rotten, low down, no good, sorry sacks of poopy. Now, I could have used the modern, you know, like the NIV, but I didn't.
Shit.
No. Shave it. Miss Carrie, wash out his mouth. We don't cuss here. We curse. I love the women says, why? You said hell. She says, she sit around and say, oh, heavens, isn't this the greatest tea you've ever had? Well, you just cursed too. Amen? Same dealy, Willie. Oh, heavens. You know, I mean, isn't it ridiculous? Anyway, what do you have to do? You have to let go of trying to do it yourself. And do what? Trust with Jesus Christ. What did He do for you? He took all of your sins. And He became sin for you, and He dropped off into hell, paid for them, and then He was raised again for our justification. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. It don't get any better than that. So you're either trying to get rid of your sins, or you're trusting what Christ did. So say, well, I'm confused. Well, you shouldn't be confused because you're here. If you do not get saved here, you will be a goat over here. So just practice this. Ah, ah, ah. So what am I? Well, I'm not a sheep, I'm a goat. Ah, ah, ah. If you're you know, like Curtis and you miss the rapture, you're a billy goat. Ah, ah, ah. If you miss the rapture and you're like Reese, you'll be a female goat. And they sound like this. Ah, ah. Nevertheless, it's not funny, boys and girls. Listen to me. If you miss it, you're gone. And you know what's weird about the rapture? It could literally happen tonight.
Amen. Bring it on.
It could literally... You could be sleeping there, and all of a sudden you hear some noise, and you go, what in the world was that?
Once you'll be taken
and
the other left behind.
No. Actually, wrong verse. That's in Judges, Matthew 24. Yeah, that's Matthew 24. No, you can't use that one. All right, jump on Carrie and let's beat her up for that wrong verse.
Why can't I use that?
It's Matthew, it's about the kingdom.
The one taken is for judgment. The one left goes to the
into that kingdom.
What's going to happen when I get raptured?
We're taking it.
Yeah,
back.
No.
The
dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Comfort one another with these words. All right, I'm done. Good night on the internet. Hope you enjoyed it. I appreciate you watching. I appreciate the class. It's a little rowdy now.